What happens when two dudes, one a retired Navy SEAL commander in Colorado Springs, and the other a hippie meditation teacher in New York City, get together to discuss living mindfully? That's a great question, because we don't know what will happen either. Raw, uncut, and unapologetic. Welcome to Men Talking Mindfulness with co-hosts John McCaskill and Will Schneider. Each week, we take an authentic dive into how mindfulness continually impacts our lives, deepens our relationships, and allows us to be emotionally alive. We filter all of our conversations through the man box, where we unpack how as men we are expected to act in society, how fighting the authentic human experience is exhausting and damaging, and how mindfulness can help. Now, on to the show.
All right. Will, brother, good to see you. Here we are, man. Talking mindfulness. We are back. And what are you wearing, man? What are you wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing the very first one of two mock-ups for Men Talking Mindfulness. We have t-shirts, John. Look at this. We got professional logo designer. My cousin actually does t-shirts. He's going to probably make those t-shirts for us. So we have like the logo on the front, MTM. And on the back, we have our raw, uncut. Can you see it right?
Raw, uncut, unapologetic.
And when you were talking to Seth the other day, I'm pre-recording an episode, and he said, you know, the raw, uncut, and unapologetic, the acronym is RUU, which I think is very fitting for the show as well. So that's super cool. Welcome, John. Sure. Let's start the show.
Men Talking Mindfulness, John McCaskill here in Colorado Springs. My brother from another mother, Will Schneider, there, now back in New York City. And we are back in season three. This is episode two for season three. Today, we're going to be discussing complaining. We're going to be complaining about complaining, which is a little bit ironic. But we're also going to be talking about where it can be good, where it can be bad, how to do it right, when it's not good for you or those around you or anyone, really. Definitely want to get into that and why we're going to be talking about that and some things that popped into my mind this week as we were thinking about preparing for this show. But prior to that, if you haven't ever tuned in before, the way that we do this is Will and I both, again, are mindfulness teachers, and we start the show with a grounding practice. We end the show with a grounding practice, and that's just the way we do things. So I'm going to kick it off with today's grounding practice. So as we always say, if you're driving, listening to this, obviously don't close your eyes. But if you feel comfortable and you're in a position where it's safe to do so, go ahead and close your eyes. Otherwise, just soften your gaze and just bring your focus to your breath. Focus on the here and now. As you do focus on that breath, the noise of life is going to be tuned out, or at least settled down for the moment. And to help us really intentionally draw our attention to our breath, we're going to do three cleansing breaths to start. Begin by breathing out all your air. Now breathe in with us. Focusing on the breath, now breathing out through your mouth. Focusing on the breath. Breathe in, noticing the physical sensation of breathing in. And out, nice and slow, fully through your mouth, noticing again the physical sensation. One more, breathing deep in through your nose. And let's hold it this time for a second. And now releasing, again, noticing the physical sensations, your lungs, your nose, and your mouth. And now just breathe naturally. And think about where you are in this time, in this space. And connect with that. Connect with that time. Connect with that space. Think about your feet being planted firmly on the ground. Maybe even imagine your feet growing roots into that ground, just a visualization. And becoming one with that time and space. Think about the energy that is flowing from the ground into you, and the energy that is flowing from you down into the ground. And as you think about your connectedness with the earth, with the ground, think how we are all connected with one another, and how what we do affects not only ourselves, but those around us. And if we can bring a sense of peace to ourselves, quite often that sense of peace resonates with those around us. Again, just visualize yourself being rooted into the ground, the energy flowing both ways, into you and out of you. And through that, you can bring peace and a settled mind to not only yourself, but to those around you. Let's finish with one deep cleansing breath. Begin by breathing out all your air. Breathe deep in through your nose. And release it nice and slow, slow, slow. And now on your own time, begin to focus your eyes or blink them open and bring some movement back into your body. And here we are for season 3, episode 2. On complaining. Will, let's start with a mindful moment for you. How was your week, man? And what was your mindful moment for the week?
Thank you. I forgot about our mindfulness moment of the week, John. I'm still my focus is on my mom and my parents and just kind of like the experience I had. Having my mom in the hospital, spending a week with my dad. And it was a good time. A good time. It was a good time for me in my relationships with my family, which I thought was, it was different. I haven't really spent one-on-one time with my dad like that, especially with my mom not around and us, my mom usually kind of controls the household kind of thing. As far as like grocery shopping and, organizing dinner and stuff like that. And to not have my mother there, I was like, hey, dad, we need to go grocery shopping. It's okay. We'll go tomorrow. So I'm grocery shopping with my dad. I thought that was fun. Mindful of how relationships can change. And also how I think mindfulness has really helped me to adapt and be more, get into the flow of change. I think it was really a big moment for me these last few days, and then coming back to New York and but still worried about my mom. So a lot of mindfulness coming up, especially when, your family unit is just very disrupted. And then also one more thing I'll say is just, I talked about it in another episode is, how we just have this incredible wiring to just be there for one another in these times of crisis. And I really enjoyed accessing that ancient, call of love and connection and wanting to serve and help in a challenging circumstance. So that was, it was a really beautiful time with my family. My mom is on the mend, which is good. Hopefully she'll be much better in a coming week. So thanks. But how about you, John? What was going on for you this past week?
Well, I'll tell you, I did some traveling this week and, I actually, funny enough, had some frustration in the travel, and that's what we're going to get into. But that's not my mindful moment. My mindful moment came when I actually came home and walked in yesterday after being gone for a few days and instantly saw my now 8-week-old little baby girl sitting in the little swing that we have her in. And she has the little things that kind of rotate above her head. And she is just looking at those and is just smiling and is in awe of that, right? Something as simple as the little things circling around her head. And she's just almost starting to giggle, a little giggle every once in a while. And it's just, it just really brightens up my day, fills my heart. But it also comes back to what we've talked about before, that beginner's mindset. And it's so great to see that beginner's mindset in this little 8-week-old. Like, it's just these two little things that circle around her face, and she is loving it. And how we can take that and apply it in our lives and look at and look for the simple things that we can find enjoyment through. So that was my mindful moment for this week.
Thanks. Well, we talked a while ago about wonderment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that beginning mindset, the beginner mindset episode, which is a great episode. Go and listen to that, y'all. And we're really trying to get like all these practices, John, that mindfulness and meditation, you know, they say, you know, you have the way the life can progress, or the way that we can begin to change as people. And it could be over lifetimes. You know, if you believe in like reincarnation, and kind of, you have the lamb, the lion, and the child, right? Whereas like the lamb just follows the herd, does what you're told, never speaks up, just keep moving forward. You know, the lion, it's funny, mentioned the lion like kind of roars against the system, complains about the system, you know, like, voices like the injustices that are all around us. And eventually we might be able to walk ourselves into that wonderment place of just being the child. Whereas like everything is given to us because we are in this place of, or being love and being, you know, compassionate and just being like, and just literally just being a human being instead of always trying to do something. So anyway, that's what it reminded me of. But let's go back to our lion voice, right? Where we're kind of our, you know, getting into
the complaining.
And Justin says, and like, oh, why me kind of stuff. We talked about complaining today. So where should we start off, John? Should we... with our definition,
before we get into the definition, I love the definition. I think that's become part of our show, right? Definitely get there. But what I'd like to do before that is just touch on, we always know well in advance what the show is going to be about, or at least ideally we do. We've got the whole season mapped out. And this week I was trying to pay attention to my complaining. When I was complaining, either out loud or in my head. And I actually, again, going back to my travel, when I travel, I am an introvert, but when I'm travel, I'm even more so. Like, I don't want anybody talking to me when I'm going through the airport. I don't want anybody talking to me when I'm on the plane. And I sat down and I put my AirPods in and I put my sunglasses on. I had my mask on already. I had a hat on, and I leaned up against the skin of the aircraft, like very clearly communicating to those around me, hey, I don't want to be talked to. Leave me alone, right? And the guy next to me did not get the message. Like, he's like starting to talk to me, oh, where are you from, blah blah blah, you know, the standard small talk that you make on a plane. And I posted a picture about it. I put, like, When he finally stopped, I snapped a photo of myself and I was like, look, this is what I look like right now. And somehow this guy still feels he needs to talk to me. but then my cousin, who lives in Durban, South Africa, which I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but Durban, South Africa right now is in complete turmoil. Riots, the former president was arrested. I mean, it looks like a failed state. And my cousin who lives there had to be escorted from his house in a military convoy to go get food to bring it back to his family. And he commented on their, you know, first world problems. And I thought, damn, he's right. I left the picture up there so that people could see his comment and then my response. And I was like, you know what? He's right. When you take a second and take a step back and look at the grander perspective, do you have things to complain about? Was this guy talking to me on a plane that big an issue? And then my complaining, not only did I complain, but then I posted on social media and took it one step further, which, I don't even know if we're going to get into that discussion today, but we do. A lot of us do complain on social media so that we get the validation from people in comments. And I did. I got a lot of validation, and I felt justified until he commented, and then I was like, "Damn, all right, let me take a step back." So anyway, I just wanted to put that in there before the definition because of what you mentioned, or what we've mentioned in perspective, in taking a step back. And then just to kind of lay the foundation for the show. So and then also to let those who are watching or maybe listening in and around the world from South Africa, I am personally praying for everyone there, and I hope that everyone does stay safe and that there is a way to return back to some sense of normalcy. So anyway, that's a shout out to my home country and my family. So I wanted to put that out. So thanks.
No, thank you, John. Well, let's. I'll just jump in and talk about complaining, right? Well, we're talking about complain, right? The definition. I have a couple definitions here. To express grief, pain, or discontent, right? Another one is to the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. That's it. That's what complaining is. And it can run really deep. I was just watching or doing some work with Will Bowen. He wrote A Complain-Free World. I actually read on all this book, a book called Stop Complaining, which is okay, not that great, but it was still helpful, you know, about now complaining about the book, right? I really like how they talk about or how Will in A Complain-Free World talks about, and especially it's so pertinent now, that complaining could think it's infectious like a virus. You know, it's like we can really pull other people into our complaining. We'll get into a little bit like why we complain and the different types of complaining and stuff like that. It's a great topic because if we're mindful about our complaining, right, and what are we really saying about our complaining, right, when we are complaining, and what do we really want in return instead of just like expressing negative energy or expressing like discontent or or grief or pain. So when you're hearing those definitions, John, or what's coming up for you with about complaining or you just kind of talked about a little bit.
Yeah, I mean I would say that there's a natural tendency in the human experience to have that negativity bias that we've talked about before. So you naturally see the negative in things. That's a defense mechanism that's built into us to literally keep us alive. But we can take it too far as we start to complain about our coworkers to our other coworkers, right? That can create a toxic environment at work. When we complain about our friends, one friend, to another friend, what does that do? What does that do to your friendship with the person that you're complaining about? But also, like, what is that? Doesn't that undermine your friendship with that person that you're complaining to? Because in the back of their minds, they're like, well, when we're not together, they're probably complaining about us.
Right. Yeah.
Right. They're probably complaining about me. So there's definitely some negative pieces of complaining that I know we're going to get much further into. But then also, how do you feel when you do complain? Sometimes you feel a sense of validation and you can maybe feel a little bit better. Sometimes you feel as though you've blown off some steam and you can feel a little bit better. So I don't want to get into toxic positivity too deep. But yeah, cool. I'll just mention toxic positivity, like the idea that we should always be walking through life with rosy glasses and that nothing should upset us.
Right.
That's not realistic. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. But then the flip side of the rosy glasses is muddy glasses. We shouldn't think that everything is bad. And there's a level of complaining and how you're complaining. And why? What's your intent with the complaining that we're going to get into here in the show that can put it on the bad side or the unhealthy side, destructive side? And then there's a level of complaining that you can do there's a way to do it, a time to do it, and a why to do it that could benefit you. So that's what kind of pops into my mind as you mentioned some of that. So yeah, where do you want to take it from there, man?
Well, let's go into, I think we need to make a distinction about what do we mean by like, you know, what is the purpose of complaining, right? Let's go into that because there are different, let's go into that. So I mean, what my experience has been like, you know, if you're just complaining if you're complaining about the weather all the time, like that is just like a negative complaint or just continually complaining about something that you're unwilling to change or do anything about, then that's just a flat out negative emotion. It's negative. It's toxic. It is like a virus in the sense of like, you're just enhancing and strengthening a negativity bias, and it's tough to get out of that rut. And I know this, I have friends that, I really don't try to have friends that are complainers, but I know a lot of people that just complain about everything and just bitch and moan and it's just like they never seem to be, they're always dissatisfied or they're always in grief or always pain or everything is just causing them pain. And I feel like in when we're complaining in that regard, we're also accessing more of that victimhood. We're just continually moving through this fig, like, oh, why? Oh, me. The world is not meeting my needs. And it's just like, oh, everything is so terrible. And I think so that's like one part of complaining. I think the flip side is you begin to vent. And I think it is complaining in a sense, but it's complaining in the way that I'm expressing a frustration or something that's happened to me or a pain or something like that. But there's a willingness to change and do something about it. Like that's a big distinction here, right?
You're
just complaining about the weather, and you can never change the freaking weather. So why even talking or complaining? And that goes for many other things too. The weather if you're complaining about work all the time, right? But you're unwilling to stand up and make a choice, or stand up and try to make some change, or voice your opinion in some ways in order to get to a change in some way, or to greet some sort of new challenge. Then you're just wasting your time and you're toxifying the office environment as well. But if you're complaining or I like to think venting or emoting in some way to in order to share your feelings with somebody else and then taking a next step and be like, what could we do about it? Then that's when like I think complaining is positive. There's negative things that are always going to happen in our life, John. It's like, how are we filtering? How are we perceiving this? Right? Are we going into that negativity bias? Unwilling to change, staying with the status quo, being that lamb, right? I guess being that lamb, lambs are always kind of complaining in some ways or whatever. But they don't do anything, right? They still go to the trough and they follow, the rest of the herd versus wanting to change, like moving into the lion and maybe become the child someday. But that's what comes up for me. It's like, I complain. I try not to complain. I really try to keep my mouth shut. And just try to either voice something that's positive, not necessarily going into that positivity toxicity, because not everything is positive. Right. But like, looking at like how, when I hear someone complain, I'm like, I go to a place of like, how can I help you? Or like my mind kind of goes like, how can we get out of this problem? So what?
It kind of goes back to the equanimity versus the impulsivity episode that we did. And also last week's episode on patience, right? There's a feeling as we go, let's say, for example, right? Somebody wins the lottery and they win $100 million. And if they are a big time complainer, they're going to say, well, I only got $56 million of that because the rest had to be paid to taxes. Like that's how they're going to see things. Like that's a positive thing. You just won $56 million. And what you're concerned about is that you paid $44 million in taxes. That's how some people, I mean, obviously that's an anecdote, but that's how some people are wired. And that can come from starting to complain at a young age, getting validation for that complaining and a compiling. But the reason I tied it back to the equanimity versus impulsivity, equanimity again is just accepting the moment, how it is right here and now, and just realizing that there's not anything that you can do about it. Whereas impulsivity is that you want to do something right now to either change your state of being, your status. And that's where I believe the complaining ties in. Also with patience and complaining, they go hand in hand. When you get impatient, most of the time, what do? You complain. Again, they go hand in hand. And then that can also go to another episode of ours, is the scarcity mindset versus the mindset of abundance. A lot of the time, if somebody sees somebody else succeeding, they feel that they need to knock them down, at least in their minds. They're like, I'm going to knock that person down by complaining. Like, they didn't deserve, again, going back to the $100 million anecdote, they didn't deserve to win that $100 million. I did. That's the scarcity mindset. They're winning $100 million doesn't take anything away from you. And so there's a complaining, patience. There's so much overlap between those. But what's the common thread amongst all of it? It's man talk and mindfulness, right? That's what we're going to talk about. There's mindfulness, and you can limit your complaining if you practice or live mindfully. You can cut the negativity out of your life if you're living mindfully. And I think that's important. But also, you realize when you live mindfully, there are, again, times and places and ways to complain that are going to be beneficial for you. So, I mean, what is it about, what happens? Let's talk about the bad first.
Right.
What happens, literally, what happens to our minds when we start verbalizing complaints?
What happened physiologically, John?
Yeah. What does happen physiologically? I mean,
we upgrade, we up our stress hormone, cortisol.
Right. Yep.
I mean, so therefore we get, and then where are we? Like, I love how we always come back to the sympathetic, parasympathetic. Boom, we're in the sympathetic nervous system. Right. And what's the world view in our sympathetic nervous system? Right. We're usually in that, you know, someone wrote here, victim versus victor. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to just keep coming back to that victimhood, which is like, oh, and that whole, like, you know, oh, the world is out to get me. The world is a threat, right? The world does not meet my needs, right? There is no abundance. Everything is in scarcity, or everything is trying to hurt me in some way. Like, you know, or so therefore I express my grief or my pain or my discontent nonstop. And it's also when we're in, and think about it, when we're in that sympathetic, jacked up in cortisol, right? We don't have that ability to begin to see that and get to that broader perspective on things. Like, instead of being like, when something doesn't meet my needs and I'm going to go complain about it, or say the weather even, it's just like, you know, how can I make the best of a bad situation? Right. That's not even a thought. Right. So as we continually, you know, complain, we bring more cortisol into our body. We probably get more worked up. Our heartbeat, imagine, is even like ticking even faster. And we're in a spiral. We're just in a spiraling, negative, toxic to ourselves, and also toxic to the people around us, kind of environment and worldview. So that's what happens. You know, so that's like when we start to complain, it's like we begin to activate that sympathetic nervous system and all those you know, negative effects that we have on ourselves physically, and then how are we showing up in the world? Mm-hmm. Big time. You know, you talked, I think in our notes here, you talked about the hippocampus. Right. If we continually complain and complain and complain, it actually shrinks our hippocampus, which prevents us from being in that executive function, that prefrontal cortex, which gives us that broader perspective of what, of how, of there might be a way out, or right. just seeing this as a challenge instead of as, like, you know, it's something that's just destroying my life right now.
Right. And you start to literally develop those neural pathways in your mind that are, again, reinforcing that negativity bias.
Yeah.
So you start to see more negative in everything, from your work to your friendships, relationships, to your family, whatever. You start to see more negative. So then you, because you're seeing more negative, now you want to complain more about it. So you're setting yourself up to be more negative by complaining about things that you can't change.
Right.
Right. And or complaining to people who can't help you, again, in doing some of the research that, for the show, there's a lot of complaining that happens in the, like, up the wrong tree, right? Barking up the wrong tree. When somebody is at the grocery store and something is wrong with the ketchup, I don't know, again, just a random example, who do they go complain to? They go complain to the cashier, right? Mm-hmm. And the cashier can't do anything about whatever it is that you just bought, whether it's the ketchup, whether it's X, Y, or Z, when who you should be complaining to is maybe the ketchup company. And again, that complaining, one, without a solution in mind or an attempt to solve the problem, and then two, complaining to the wrong person can be detrimental to your mind and your health. As you start to have that negativity bias and you start to see more negative, you literally start to feel more negative. You start to walk around with your shoulders kind of hunched over, and you start to just, everything that happens, you start to feel more negative about. But the one thing that, you know, when you talk to people about complaining, some people are like, well, hey, you know, I need to vent, and I need to vent to people who understand what's going on. Right. Most of the time when that's happening is people are, again, searching for validation. And you may feel the sense of bonding, because as you complain about the ketchup, somebody else that you're complaining to is like, yeah, that ketchup sucks. And then you're like, okay, that's the validation. And then you end up going back and forth on it. And you develop this bond, but you're developing a bond over negativity. And that's right. The foundation. That's the foundation of your friendship. That's the foundation of your relationship. Is that what you want the relationship to be based on? Negativity? Or do you want a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, whatever, to be based on something positive? I personally choose the latter. And if I am complaining to somebody in my relationship, I would like to think, and I know this is, again, by no means perfect. I complain. I do it. I'm human. But now, after doing the research for this show and doing this show, I hope that I can carry it forward and complain, one, less, and two, when I do complain, that it's better, more productive complaining. That's the pieces that I wanted to hit on. Back over to you, bud.
Well, no, when you are complaining too, I mean, in that example you talked about the grocery store, like, you're bringing your negative stuff into another person's sphere or into it, you know. So therefore, coming back to the tuning fork analogy, you know, that we've used before, and, you know, if you're lighting up with negativity because of your complaining, because your needs aren't being met, you know, you're taking that into another person. It's just like, why, you know, I don't know, you know, in that example, it could go a bunch of ways. It could be like, oh, where's the ketchup? Or why don't you have this particular ketchup? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's just like, hey, back off. You know, it's just like, I'm just a clerk, you know? Or it could be, you know, if going from another way, it's just like, why don't you just ask a question instead? It's like, hey, you know, is your ketchup coming in? Or instead of complaining, you know, in that particular example. But I think it's also important to be, you know, you mentioned about, you know, or kind of the bonding over negativity. So, like, misery loves company. Yeah. And it's like, you know, for me, it's like, do you want to be in that company? I didn't want to be really in the company of that negativity on the inside. I just don't. Like, that's just not how I choose to live my life. You know, right. I like to live, you know, in a positive mindset. Things are never going to go my way. I mean, life is full of challenging. You know, the Buddhists always talk about, like, life is suffering. Right. You know, that's like a really hard concept to me, you know, to take. I don't like the word suffering, but, you know, life is full of challenges, is the way I like to look at things. And it's like, what's your worldview around challenges? Right. Mm-hmm. And if you're always going to look at a challenge as take it as a complaint, as a way of, like, the world is not meeting your needs, then, like, you know, what kind of life are you living then?
Right.
Versus, like, taking in an opportunity to, like, how about maybe it's an opportunity to find and use another brand of ketchup that I might like, or I won't like, you know, and right. Then I can tell people, hey, buy this. This is great. Or, like, hey, don't use this ketchup ever again. And it's that analogy, but at least, you know, at least you're being productive and being positive in some ways, or at least, like, you know, greeting the challenge and trying something new. I mean, which is so much, which is so much of life. Like, it's like, if we're doing the same things over and over and over again, you know, and expecting different results, we're going to suffer a lot. We're going to probably complain a lot because life is always changing. It's all the time, always changing. And it's like, how are you adapting to that change?
Right. Yep. And again, the, what's the goal? What's the goal of the complaining? Right.
Yes.
And, you know, we mentioned if complaining is going to lead to a solution, then complain away if it's going to lead to a solution.
Right.
I mean, try to do it in a way that's productive and is going to lead to that solution. Don't try not to offend anyone or hurt anyone's feelings. But the in the comments here, I saw, let's see, it's something about a physical ailment being a legitimate thing to complain about.
Yes.
And we were even talking about that prior to the show. And I want to just read this one paragraph.
Sure.
MIT professor Randy Pausch, I think that's how it's pronounced, was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 2006. And he became famous for encouraging everyone not to be a victim. One of the biggest reasons is that simply doesn't work. Being a victim just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So as Pausch put in 2007 in his famous last lecture, complaining does not work as a strategy. We all have a finite time and energy. Any time we spend whining is unlikely to help us achieve our goals, and it won't make us happier. So he made it a goal not to complain about his terminal cancer. That said, when you're in pain, it is definitely easy to complain. And I don't think that there's going to be a lot of people who judge you for complaining, for being in pain, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the goal of complaining? If you complain, it's not going to take away your pain. If you complain, it's not going to take away your sadness.
Mm-hmm. Try to make it worse.
Know that. And I think that's exactly it. I think a lot of the time it is going to make it worse. It's going to get you back into that negative cycle. That downward spiral. But again, by no means am I belittling people's pain, their sadness, whatever it is they're dealing with. But we just want to talk about what you can and cannot do, or rather what you can do to improve the way you're feeling. Maybe complaining in a different way or complaining to someone who can solve your problem rather than complaining to the carpenter about how you're feeling. You go and you see a doctor. And you complain about how you're feeling. Because that's the solution. Seek the solution.
Right. Seek solution. Exactly. Well, you know, I see that, you know, some of these comments coming in about, you know, complaining about your pain and stuff like that. You know, if you really want to be inspired and learn about somebody else's struggle, tune in to Dan Nevins and our episode. He lost both of his legs.
Yeah.
He lost both of his legs. I mean, to lose, I don't know what I would do, John. I don't want to talk about it because I'm afraid to lose any part of my body. I mean, I don't know what that would be like, but Dan, I mean, Dan definitely struggled, and I'm sure Dan, you know, maybe we should have him on like for complaining part two or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Dan, I think actually, like, we're gonna call Dan. It's like, I think he'd be amazing. But I'm sure for like, because it was like, it was a struggle to literally find his, you know, his new way of walking in the world and being in the world, but he did. Because he was seeking solution. He didn't like, I mean, you know, he had, I think he had mentioned he had suicidal thoughts, and then who wouldn't, you know, in that kind of regard. But he kept searching for the meaning in all of this. He kept searching for the solutions to access that meaning and to literally, or to walk, or to, that's very insensitive, it sounds like, but to like take himself out of, I know he would. To take himself out of this position and this feeling of victimhood and into the life he has now, which, I mean, he seems like he's doing great. I mean, he just married off his daughter. Like, he's teaching all over the place. Like, he's a real inspiration to the show. He's a great inspiration to everybody he talks to because he overcame his pain. He overcame his victimhood, right? And he became the victor of his own, of his experience. And just imagine that, John. We talk about affecting other people, right? I mean, and I said inspiration now three times. He's inspiration to other people because that's the energy he carries with him. He's completely changed his worldview, is no longer the victim of, like, I mean, he lost two limbs and now he's a yoga teacher, you know, with prosthetic legs or without them, he even practices. I mean, so for anybody that's out there and is suffering with pain and is very debilitating, this and that, you know, I mean, get in contact, listen, you know, if you want to listen to the show, that Dan Emma's episode about yoga and mindfulness or yoga and men, please do. And even just access Dan's information, like, or even if you can get in touch with Dan, I know that he would be able to help you in some ways because of what he's gone through and where he is now.
Right. Yeah. He's phenomenal. And that was a great episode, very humbling and perspective shifting for me.
Sure.
And talking about that, and again, going back to when you have a physical ailment, whether you're sick, whether you're wounded, whether you're mentally not feeling well, again, that energy that you complain with and the goal of complaining, I think can really change how you feel. So in the comments, it says, when I complain about my seizures, people are interested in giving me what I need to help me recover. And they do. So there, I think one, your goal is seeking out a solution. You're not just complaining. Yeah. Right. So we're talking about basically the three types of complaining. There's venting. So to release some of that pressure and that emotion, can be beneficial. Right? That can be, emoting. That can be beneficial. The complaining to solve a problem, that's obviously beneficial.
Right.
The one where the third one, ruminating or dwelling on a particular problem just to ruminate on it. Something that has already happened in the past. Like, oh man, I screwed that up, and complaining about it. Or worse, so you know, another person screwed something up in the past and ruminating on that. Ruminating is not going to do anything except make you feel worse and validate yourself again, maybe there. So that's what I want to hit on. And now I want to talk, if you're good, is talk about some ways to complain that are healthy or at least can help to get to that solution. I'll read some of them here. One, you can start to pay attention to how often you complain. Again, mindfulness.
Mindfulness
101.
That's going to come with like meditation, right? Calming down, slowing down. But God, I'm sorry. Yeah. But like, again, mindfulness 101 and the practices of mindfulness.
Right. Exactly. And Dr. Robin Kowalski, professor of psychology at Clemson, says, complaining is honestly just part of the social fabric of our lives. It's part of how we communicate. And then says that it's expressive complaining, blowing off steam. So that's the venting that can be helpful. Instrumental complaining, which is done with an actionable goal, the problem solving that we talked about, that can be beneficial. So start by paying attention to how often you're complaining and how you're complaining. Think about the purpose of your conversation rather than going into negative autopilot and just assuming that everything is negative and just quite frankly, bitching rather than just bitching. Yeah. Why are you complaining? And then complaining for the purpose of resolving a concern or grievance is helpful for mental health as it is a way to channel your needs into actionable outcomes. And then the last one, or one of the other ones, is if and when you do complain, rather than, again, just stopping at the complaint, say your complaint and then stick a butt in there. So, hey, I'm hurting. For instance, with the physical ailment, physical pain, I'm hurting. Like maybe my knee hurts, but at least I have my health. And again, I don't want to minimize pain as far as like when I don't want to minimize somebody else's pain in talking.
Right.
Surely if I want to minimize my own pain, sure, but I don't want to minimize the effect of someone else's pain on them. But you can say the word but after a complaint and then stick in a reframed or a positive, and that can actually help you literally get rewired back to that positive way of thinking. Not necessarily the rosy glasses and the toxic positivity where everything needs to be rosy, but it can help you to start to feel better, quite literally, rather than just complaining. So,
no,
No, it's like, you know, stay in those first two categories of complaint, like venting. I think it's important to vent, John. I mean, I think venting and complaining, right. If you're just venting, you know, complaining about something that frustrating that happened to you in your life or some sort of like pain point that you have in your life, because, you know, I think it's important to kind of express that. But it's also like, I think it's important, John, to note who you're talking to. You know, if you're emoting and venting to somebody that's always complaining or just kind of a negative person, then like, you know, I think it's important to pick your people, right? If you're complaining and venting to somebody that always, then they're just going to kind of keep pulling you down into that negativity bias. And you might not be able to, muddy your glasses. Right. And then you might get into like another, like some sort of terrible spiral again, versus like, if you're talking to somebody that loves you, takes care of you, but also holds you to your highest self, right? Then they might be like, well, how can I help you? Or it's like, what can we do about this? You know, like the word we, like, what can we do about this? How can we, you know, what can I do? Could we go do X, Y, and Z in order to, you know, minimize this, whether it's physical pain or mental pain or emotional pain? So that, I think that's important to know your audience as well as who you're complaining to. You know, if you're always complaining to somebody that agrees with you, then you're always just going to keep complaining and stay in the same place. Right?
Right.
You know, I did a quote here by
I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother, but be careful of who you're complaining to, but also be careful of who's complaining to you, right? The flip side of that, because if they're constantly complaining to you, maybe that's, again, what the foundation of your relationship is. And maybe you can flip that and be more positive. Maybe they're complaining to you because you're always solving their problems, which is, I guess, a good thing. But you also need to be careful about always being the problem solver. Sometimes people just want to vent, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just want to vent. Me too.
I mean, like, we're solution guys. I mean, we've gotten where we are today because we're like, okay, how do we solve this problem? Plus, right. I mean, you're a math guy. I like math too. We're always looking for the solution. You know what I mean?
Right. It's
like, what do we need to add into this equation in order to get to the solution? Right? I mean, completely. You know?
It's that old commercial, and I think I may have mentioned it on the show before, where, you know, it starts, but behind a couple on a couch, the couple sitting next to one another, and you just see the back of their heads, and the woman is complaining about tension and, you know, pain in her forehead, and how this is really causing problems in her life. And the camera pans, and then as it pans to the front of the couple, the woman has a nail sticking out of her forehead. And the boyfriend or husband or whatever, he's like, well, if I could just take that nail out of your forehead, it would help with everything. And she's like, it's not about the nail. I just want you to listen to me. and it just shows that, you know, it shows the desire of some people. I won't just say men in general, but some people, there's a desire to fix the problem.
Right.
And then there's on the flip side, and it's not just women, it's just the flip side of the relationship. There's some people who just want to vent because they know you'll listen. And and I think that's important to know. One, important to know who is complaining to you, and two, know why they're complaining to you. Are they complaining to vent, which again could be healthy, or are they complaining to solve a problem? Or I guess the third option is, they're complaining for you to validate their victimhood. And if that's the case, you need to fix something. You need to fix something in the relationship. You need to fix something about why they're complaining. When I say fix something, I don't mean the fixer in solving their problem. I mean, literally fix something in their relationship. So
there's gotta be a deeper meaning here. Here's a quote. This is Brian Johnson. He does Optimal Living 101. He's great. He's been an inspiration of mine for God, probably since almost 10 years now. He says, fact is, we always have a choice. Will we whine about the challenges in our lives, or will we alchemize them into strength and service? If you're currently facing a challenge, what's your choice? Right?
Love
it. I mean, we have a choice, you know? I thought, oh my God, the time just flies. I think it might be
crazy
to This is by that again from A Complaint Free World by Will Bowen. He says there's five reasons we complain, right? And he put in an acronym GRIPE, G-R-I-P-E, right? And he says like we complain is driven by our unmet needs and sometimes our social needs, right? And we complain. The number one reason we complain is to get attention, mm-hmm. right? We simply want to connect with others and don't know how to do it in a positive way. Think about that. Like that's just getting attention, right?
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, but we don't know how to in a positive way. You know, another reason we complain is to remove responsibility, right? to take ourselves off the hook.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Or it's like he gave an example of golfing, you know, like we shank a ball in golf or something like that. And it's the sun's in our eyes or the grip was wet or something like that, or like somebody, you know, a dog barked in the distance and all of a sudden your shot get, you know, it's a terrible shot, right? So remove responsibility. That's another one, right? The third one is inspire envy, right? And this is a really like kind of an interesting one because, and it's a kind of a humble brag, right? Complaining about our good fortune to draw attention to your good fortune. You know, you get an example. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're complaining about your brand new computer, right? And like how it's like so complicated and so technical and you just got it, you don't know how to use it. But it's like at the same time, it's like, well, look at my new computer, you know? He says also another reason why people complain is for power, right? Which is interesting. And you want to shift, like this talks about, this is what negative ad campaigning is in elections typically. We're trying to like, shift power, right, from one particular idea or party into another by complaining about what that other party does or what those people do in that party.
Rather than highlighting the positive.
Right, rather than highlighting, yeah.
Exactly. Knocking them down.
Right, exactly, exactly. We undermine people or if you're in that kind of negativity bias very often, you might be trying to undermine people's authority all the time. Like you might be doing that if you're about your boss. It's like, oh, he's stupid or this or that. We should go this direction, you know, and that's a complaint, but it's for a power grab in some ways or to shift power. Right. And last one, he says, the E in gripe is excuse poor performance. Right. Which I think is interesting as well. So, and it's another way of also that's excusing poor performance is also tied in with, excusing yourself from responsibility as well. So those are like the big five ways or reasons that we complain, right? To get attention, remove responsibility, inspire envy. Oh, like my new Tesla sucks because I got a flat tire. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, dude, good for you.
It's so tough sitting at the Tesla charging station.
Yeah, exactly. Another one is for power. Right. Take power away from people or shift power and excuse for poor performance. And he also said, here's like a cure. Like this is like, so let's get back, you know, we'll kind of finish with like, how do we, you know, we talked about being mindful of complaining is a great way to do it. You know, surround yourself with people that want to help you, right. That will help you get to those solutions that you might not have right in that space. But he says like there's two major cures for complaint, you know, for the complaining virus, as Will talks about it. And you can do this at home, at the office. The first one is like you have a quarantine complaint-free zone, right? So that can be the kitchen table. It's like nobody's complaining during dinner. This area, right, we do not complain. Or like at the water cooler or at lunch at the office or something like that. We don't complain. And this starts to help us become aware that we are complaining. And I think what's nice about it is in a social setting, right, around the kitchen table or at the office, right, you can be like, hey, no complaining. And you're complaining about somebody complaining, I get it, but it's just like, but you're bringing awareness. Like we typically, a lot of people that complain that haven't really, you know, done a lot of self-reflection in some ways, whether that's any sort of the mindfulness practices that we continually talk about, you know, they are unconscious, right, and incompetent in the sense of like they don't even realize that they're complaining.
Right. Right.
Right. And the last one is he says to heal yourself. You know, what can you do? What can you do to discover how often you complain? You know, he talks about like he has the in a complaint-free world, he has bracelet. There's a rubber bracelet that he puts on one wrist, and when he complains, he puts it on the other wrist. You can do it like a stone in your pocket. You know, you have it in one pocket when you complain, right? You take the stone out and put it in the other pocket, right? So having some sort of like, so instead of it just being a mental game all the time, right? Activating the body, right? Mm-hmm. Which helps us to create a deeper and more meaningful mind-body connection. So we begin to be in the world in a different way. Well, another thing I want to mention about complaining is like, it's a lot of it has to do with our environment, John. Like if you're always tuning into the news is complaining all the time about the way the world should be.
That's what gets attention.
Right. And there you go. And because it gets attention, it drives advertisers and it makes revenue, right? Period. Right. So if you're a news person and you watch a lot of news, watch how much complaining they do, and then watch how you're more willing to complain about something, right, that you also have no control over. Right. If you're complaining, you know, if you're complaining about a particular piece of news that's happening in a different part of the world, right, and just talking to complain about it and you can't even do anything about it, then where is that leading you? What road is that taking you down? And also, like, people that complain, like, you're what, you know, we said before in the show, like, you are the average of the five people that spend the most time with, right? And if you're around a bunch of complainers, guess who you're going to be? You're going to be a complainer as well, right?
Yep.
And kind of, like, detracting from your potential greatness and opportunity and who you can be instead of trying to move in that direction. What are some other things, if you have any, John, like...
Yeah.
A couple of
closing comments. Actually, just one really. I know we've done this a lot during this particular episode. Is tied what we're talking about here to other episodes, but the bosses versus leaders.
I know we just mentioned like seven episodes today, John. We're just plugging.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we can just go ahead and plug all 40 something episodes. Let's do it. So. You know, in your gripe acronym, the get attention, remove responsibility, inspire envy, power, and excuse, I think that the gripe acronym is what bosses do a lot. Gripe to get attention, right? Wow. Does a leader do that? A good leader does not gripe to get attention. A good leader gives the attention to his organization, his team, his or her team. To remove responsibility, what does a boss do when things go wrong? Like, well, my team just wasn't acting. Okay, that's what a boss does. A leader accepts that responsibility rather than removing it. Inspiring envy. Maybe that applies, maybe it doesn't. But I think a lot of the time, bosses, even amongst other colleagues, they may look to inspire envy by complaining. Power. To attain that negative power. Again, boss versus leader. The boss will do that, the leader won't. And then excusing poor performance. And that's kind of the same as remove responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's where a boss will do that, whereas a leader won't. So that's the 1 minute distilled version of the bosses versus leaders in one acronym. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's where it ties into some of the other stuff that we've talked about before. That said, coming up on the end of the show, before we go into the final grounding practice, Will, you got anything, brother?
I don't think so, John. I think we really, you know, I think we really do need it. This would be a great place to have Dan come back on.
Yeah,
you know, part two of this episode. I mean, talk about anybody that can complain. You know, I mean, Dan, it can be. So Dan, if you're listening, send us a message.
we'll make sure we tag him on this.
Yeah. And you know, the last thing I'll say, and I'll just repeat it, is like, be sensitive to the people and the things that are influencing your life. Yeah. You know, the radio, the TV, the shows you're watching, the people in your life, the office that you're at. I mean, it's all going to have an effect on how you're showing up in the world, how you're thinking, how you're feeling, and how you're really that worldview. And and I think that's part of a big reason why we have this show, John, because we're really trying to create a community that you know, is driven and passionate, you know, to just have the world be a better place, right? And if we have what would the world be like if it was complaint free, or at least complaint free in the way that we talked about, that we're not trying to seek solution. or just complaining, you know, for attention or whatever else, or for a power grab or something like that, and really not looking to how to turn that challenge, right, and make a choice and turn it something into something that's productive and positive.
Right, right. Yep, 100%, man. And I do want to give us kind of a shameless plug here prior to the final grounding, because sometimes after we say, hey, we're going to do the final grounding, this is where we lose some people. I want to go ahead and say this before the final grounding. Hey, if you like the show, share it with your friends, family, whoever else needs to see it. If you're listening to the show, we would love you to take a screenshot of your listening to the show. If you're watching the show, take a screenshot right now, post it, share it, and then tag us. We would love to be tagged. We'd love to see who's watching, who's listening. Please share that with us. Share that with your friends, family. Give us a review, rating on iTunes, wherever else. And we really appreciate you tuning in. We really appreciate you sharing it with your friends, family, whoever else needs to hear it. Because we feel, we're not trying to do a humble brag here. We feel that what we're sharing is changing lives. And we see that. And we're very thankful for you all, for our listeners, our viewers. So I just wanted to get that out before we lose you. So thanks for that opportunity, for that shameless plug there, Will.
It's been a shameless episode, John, with all the plugs of our episodes. It's all good.
That was not planned.
No, it wasn't. But we were excited about the show. But all right, let's close with a nice little grounding exercise.
Let's do it.
So wherever you are, again, whatever you're doing, you just, stop what you're doing. And let's just take a momentary pause. And we'll just start with a few breaths. If you can close your eyes, great. If you can't, that's okay. You can still breathe with your eyes open. I think you've done that before. So let's exhale out through the nose. Try to really empty out. Pull that diaphragm all the way up below your rib, underneath your rib cage. And let's take a nice, satisfying inhale. And exhale out the nose easy. And again. And exhale. Again in. Out. Let's do a few more. Big breath in. Exhale easy. Last one in. Awesome. Out gently. And just sit for a moment and be here and just notice how you're feeling. Feel how you're feeling. It's okay, whatever it is. And then just be mindful of one thing that you complain about like way too often or all the time. Bring that complaint into your mind. Get a few more breaths just to stay present to it and allow it to expand in your imagination. And then choose one simple thing that you can do to change that. So instead of being the victim, be the victor by taking a small action that might turn into bigger actions to resolve that complaint, treat the challenge, and find solution. And if the complaint you have though doesn't have a something where you can hack in and change it with the challenge and find the solution, then we just brought some awareness to something that there's no use complaining about it because there's no use in changing because you can't change it. So let that go. And thank yourself for this awareness. one, just close with one cleansing breath. Exhale out to begin. Through the mouth, we'll take this one. We'll inhale through the nose. And a big relaxing sigh out. So there we have it, John. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, John. Thank you all. We got tons of comments here today. Thank you, everybody, tuning in live to the show. Thanks for plugging the show. Thanks for taking that screenshot we talked about and sharing it with your audience and tagging us as well. I'm done, John. Anything else from you?
Brother, that's it. Have a great weekend to you. Have a great weekend to our viewers, our listeners. Always a pleasure, brother. Until next time, signing off.
Peace.
Thanks for joining Will and John on Men Talking Mindfulness. If you enjoyed the show, please like and share it with your friends and family, and please, we would appreciate a review too. Until next time, this has been Men Talking Mindfulness. Thanks for showing up.